And good evening, everyone. It's Stephen Trammell here, New Year's Eve.
Wow, December 31, 2020.
Todd, we're behind. I think the reason that we are so far behind is because Anna wasn't caught up. She's just now listening to our last podcast.
Yeah, I think she said she listened to one from December 6th.
She was annoyed. Tonight. She was annoyed because she said, "Why'd you talk about me?"
Oh, you know, really?
On the Good Works podcast. And yeah. I told her, don't do any good works.
Yeah, just stop.
And you won't
stop.
Get talked about.
Just stop.
So we were behind, but I mean, you were sick with COVID for a while. I mean, how was that? Just for people that are listening, I mean, that might not have talked to you yet.
It wasn't pleasant. There's definitely problems with your lungs when you have it. It kind of feels like you have like cobwebs in your lungs.
Really?
I mean,
and you're a healthy guy. Like, you're
breathing
super healthy.
Is more challenging. And, you know, it kind of feels like a tightness in your chest or, you know, at times like someone's standing on your chest. I mean, it's just an infection that attacks the lungs for sure.
And then you were kind of down and out for a few days. I mean, how many days were you really feeling the effects of it, you think?
Man, that may have only been like 4 or 5 days. I don't know, maybe 6 days. I don't even know. It definitely felt after, you know, 3 or 4 days, I started feeling like I was getting a little bit better. And then, you know, it was still not great, but not awful, where, you know, for 7, 8, 9, 10 days or so, you could still feel something was going on, you know, before just feeling like I was 100%.
I remember the one thing you said to me when I asked you about COVID, you said, "I feel like I can appreciate how an older person wouldn't want to get this."
Oh, man. Yeah. That whole idea of like cobwebs in your lungs or something, or, you know, just the inability of your lungs to expand or like trying to breathe through a straw, something like that. I mean, no, it could be extremely unpleasant for someone who's like oxygen absorption through the lungs into the bloodstream. If that's compromised or weak in any way, then, you know, COVID just pushed them right over the edge. I mean, that's why, you know, in the hospital, people that are immunocompromised or weaker in their lungs and respiratory system just need a ventilator.
God brought you through it, and back here on the podcast, and grateful for that. I mean, a lot of prayers, and people just grateful that it didn't spread worse than it did, because
I don't think it ended up, thankfully, you know, by God's grace, not like some outbreak at the church where we had 100 people walking around with COVID and multiple fatalities. So praise God for that. I want to thank everyone who brought us food. I mean, I put on an APB for some Oreos, and you don't even know how many Oreos showed at my house.
That was like me months ago with the Oreo.
Oh, the ice cream.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably still got some.
I do feel like Oreos might have some type of medicinal purpose that will fight COVID.
Well, while 2020 had some bright spots, I think in general, we're not going to look back on it with fondness, even though you did get a lot of Oreos. I mean, we'll probably look back on it with some pain.
Yeah.
But I think there, I mean, as we wrap up the year, everybody's in reflection mode.
Right.
Anxious to get this year behind them. It's worth a minute to just stop and think back about some things maybe that we could learn from this year and reflect, of course, on a solely spiritual level.
That's right.
To kind of help us prepare for the next one, because you can tell, right, when you go through something like that, you're going to be ready for the next time it happens. You think you're like your grandparents through the Great Depression or stuff like that. You know, I remember my grandma, I mean, she had money like in a pill bottle, like, you know, she'd pull cash out of everywhere,
nice.
You know, because you just
never know when it's going to dry up.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to live in a different time. And so you go through some of these things, it changes you, and it should change us for the better.
Right.
And want us to reflect on some things spiritually that we've learned from this. And of course, we'd love to hear from you and anything that you think we could learn, because, man, I mean, everything relates back to Jesus and the cross for a Christian.
That's right.
And if we're not taking life's lessons and internalizing them for spirituality, using them to mature and grow, we're kind of missing the point of it. Like, we're not weathering these storms. We're supposed to get better through them.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, James, we've had our James class recently that talks about, you know, the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And that's the only way you get there. You have some times that are not pleasant, that are difficult, that are challenging, but it develops faith, it develops endurance, and we're going to need endurance to make it to the end.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about these things a lot, and if you're listening, you're like, I don't want to hear anything about COVID.
I'm done with COVID. Well, look, I had COVID, so I'm going to talk about this a little bit.
You're done with it, but you're done with COVID. I don't want to talk about COVID, but I do want to talk about spiritual lessons related to just this whole year.
That's right, yeah.
We'll be broader than COVID.
Right.
We may cough occasionally, but we're both wearing masks 6 feet apart here.
But there's a lot where we're not wearing masks. That's why you can actually hear us talking.
Right.
But the lessons from politics, the lessons from some of the social unrest, in addition to, you know, the pandemic and, you know, news. I mean, there's definitely a lot of things that we can look at in this world around us and learn some spiritual lessons.
All right. We got four tonight, and here's the first one. The first one that I learned, and I think everybody can appreciate this, God can do anything. God can do anything.
He can just turn the world upside down.
We had a podcast about God turning the world upside down, and I want you just to sit back and think for a minute of what occurred this year that you, if we were sitting down in 2019, same time, you would have never thought possible. I mean, of all the things that surprised me, how about stopping the NCAA basketball tournament?
Oh, man. Sports. I mean, you know what? As far as God's knowledge, he knows exactly how many dollars of revenue have been lost from SEC football, you know, any NCAA football, any NCAA basketball. I mean,
it's wild.
Bazillions of dollars.
So last March, I mean, I think it was around the 14th when stuff started falling apart.
Yeah.
I was planning on, because Auburn had a good basketball season.
Oh, yeah.
Going and visiting Anna's aunt in Nashville.
Oh, I remember you talking about this.
The Auburn basketball championship. Yep. I mean, it wasn't the Auburn basketball championship. It's SEC championship.
It basically was the
Auburn's like doing really good, high seed, you know. I'm going to go watch them play basketball. And then people start talking about,
like,
it might get canceled.
It's like, wait, what?
Like, it canceled? Like, all of a sudden canceled? Well, then they cancel it. Then they cancel all spring sports.
Yeah.
They cancel the NBA. They cancel baseball. They cancel these things. I'm talking the only time stuff gets canceled is like World War II.
Yeah,
when you have a season that didn't happen because people are gone off to war or whatever. Right. And so, I mean, unheard of. I mean, the sports. Yeah. And the kids' sports. I mean, think about your kids' sports. No, your kids are in things.
Everything.
And they're just ground to a halt. Could you imagine?
Yeah. God, if he wants to, he can turn March Madness into March Sadness.
It's not even just sports. You think of airlines, flights.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that clockwork, you can look out your window and see flights taking off from Hartsfield Jackson, I mean, all day.
Yeah.
To think those ground to nothing. I mean, stocks in the tank.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. I remember reading some article about United Airlines, and they were burning, like, I don't even know what it was, like $100 million of cash, like, per month, or I don't even, or maybe even more than that. I can't remember, but, like, business just dried up for the airlines.
Like, people wearing face coverings, masks.
Yeah.
And require, like, people willingly doing this. I mean, church.
Yeah.
The thing that always happens, you know, church taking such a weird backseat. I mean, you had people not meeting. You had people that were doing drive-in church. I mean, all these sorts of things.
Drive-in church.
Yeah, remember they were doing in the parking lot.
My brother-in-law was preaching off the back of his pickup truck.
It's so wild to think about. We take it for granted, but I mean, just think back 9 months ago. This stuff would have been crazy to think we're just not going to have services or things are going to be different. Well, why don't we think about all of that? Because in an instant, God can do the unthinkable and turn everything on its head. And I remember the book of Job. I mean, the entire middle section of Job is him trying to wrestle with this one reality.
Right.
Why did my life get turned upside down? And he and his friends are talking about it, discussing it. And then God finally is aroused from his holy habitation. And God's got some things to say to Job. And God basically says, you remember a couple of those chapters there, chapter 40 and 41, he spends time just explaining to Job, hey, Job, do you know what I was doing? Where were you while I was making some of these great animals? Right. Where were you when I was creating these things and I was doing this? Were you around? Let me ask you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Job, in chapter 42, Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. In verse 2, he says, all right, I get it. You can do anything you want, and it's not going to be thwarted.
Yep. Definitely just this eye-opening experience for Job. And you think about, like, God's like, he can do whatever he wants. Blow up world economies, world health, you know, personal human beings, death, mortality.
God,
you know.
God says, who do you think I am?
Right.
Who am I? Who do you think I am?
Right.
Now, things may have continued for a while, but are you surprised? And it's like today, people, you know, what's happening? Why is all this going on?
Right.
God's got the answer to that. And here's the answer. I can do whatever I want to do.
Yeah. Like not just because I want to. It's like because I have the power to.
He didn't give Job a reason. Like, he never really explained, here's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I apologize. I shouldn't have rocked your boat.
Satan got this whole thing worked up.
He didn't tell him a word.
Yeah.
All he said was, you be careful and know this. I can do all this stuff.
Right.
And I've been doing this. And so sometimes it's good for us to sit back and experience the impossible.
Yeah.
Because God is just there and he demands our respect. And every once in a while, we just kind of need the boat rocked.
Yeah. Well, definitely anytime he does it, it's an opportunity for those who might be seeking him to get a wake-up call, or those that maybe aren't because they're distracted by the world, to come back to him. And, you know, that's just, I think, something that God has done throughout the centuries, and 2020 is just one of those examples.
You had mentioned earlier verse 5.
Oh, yeah.
He says, in continuing his conversation, his response to God, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you.
Yeah.
Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. I think there have been a lot of hearing about God from people, and you read the Bible and you think, like, oh, yeah, God can do anything, God can do anything. But when you see it firsthand,
right,
like, now my eye sees,
right,
it really puts you in your place, like, I repent of anything I thought I was planning to do in 2020. How about 2021? Got some plans there? I can't wait for 2020 to be over because I'm going to get back. You're not going to do anything unless God allows it.
Yeah, you're going to do what God allows you to do. You know, that's another verse in our James study, right? James 4. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.
Yeah. So, I mean, just what a lesson to think. If you ever learned anything from 2020, learn this. God can do the unthinkable. He can shake whatever you think can't be shaken. He can take the temple that seemed like the edifice of all edifices and say, yeah, not a single stone is going to be left upon another.
Right, right.
It's going to be torn down. God can do all those things. God can take the highest nation, and he can make Nebuchadnezzar walk around on his knees, and he can take the Roman Empire and crush them into dust. Like, God can do it all. Yep. And 2020 has been an example of that.
Yeah, that's right.
The second thing we wanted to talk about tonight, point number 2, calamity builds character. Not really builds, it reveals character.
Yeah, that's
now,
what I was
going
to say.
It can build character, but it can also reveal kind of who you are. There's been a lot of that this year. I mean, what do you think's been the most, outside of COVID, I mean, what's been the most calamitous thing that happened in 2020?
Well, I mean, our political climate has been pretty caustic, and that has spilled over into social unrest and racial issues. And somewhere in there seems like a pretty strong, you know, number 2 to COVID, where you're looking at people that have character that is being revealed and it's not good.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of stress around racial issues. There's been a lot of stress around the politics, like you mentioned, but man, I mean, you think about what we witnessed. We're not talking about the general unrest, which is you cut on the TV and people are yelling at each other. Like, there's live video of people shooting people dying in the street, and this graphic video of
people just setting things on fire, you know, even in right here at home, like in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, different places, just like violence.
Yeah, like extreme violence and
vandalism.
Yeah, and you would think like this is not normal. It was normal for a long time. Now maybe it's kind of calmed down a little bit, or it's just not as much in the news.
Right.
But what do you find out when people are viewing themselves as mistreated? What when people attack your family who's a police officer or those sorts of things? I think what you see, one of two things happen. All right, you feel slighted and wronged, and you do what most of the world does, and you go for vengeance.
Right.
Or if you're a Christian, you're going to say, oh man, this is a horrible situation. I'm going to try to do what Christians do, which is build bridges, make peace between brethren.
Right.
Try to find calm, purpose, perspective. And we didn't see a lot of the latter. I saw a lot of the former, even among Christians.
What's the beatitude? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall what? I think it says they shall be called sons of God. It's like, did we see many people that
absolutely
really showed themselves to be peacemakers and God's children?
Yeah, and when you talk about revealing character, I mean, you think about that, like, who do you want in your house when the house is on fire? Like, you want somebody that is, they're not the first one running out of the house,
right,
screaming. You right. want somebody that is, all right, I'm going to take care of things, and if the Titanic's sinking, like, let's take care of what needs to be taken care of, and I'll be here to see things are done the best I can until the end.
Right.
And there's just not a lot of men left that are truly, I say men, generally speaking, right? The epitome of sacrifice and strength, right, and those sorts of things, like true people of character.
Right.
And again, women can embody that as well. But the idea of just someone that's going to stand in the gap.
Yeah.
It's like God's like, I found none.
Right. Standing up against the oppression of the weak and being humble enough to be submissive even in the face of those who are arrogant or, you know, conceited or prideful and wanting to demonstrate their perceived superiority, or at least their view of themselves as superior, and exert that in some kind of way that demonstrates their power. I mean, I love what I was just looking at this verse in John 10 a minute ago, verse 18, where Jesus says, "No one has taken my life from me, but I lay it down." And that's just not the character we see in our society today, where someone says, I'm going to voluntarily lay down and be someone's doormat. And that's ultimately what Jesus did. I mean, he said, I'm going to be the doormat for the world to wipe their grimy feet on and walk all over me in order to save mankind from their sins. And like, there's none of that. Everybody's just looking out for their own rights, you know, their own, you know, protection or, you know.
Well, their opinion. Yeah. I mean, you know, people are married to their own opinion. And I think even in churches, you see this kind of play out, right? Where when there is some sort of calamity or problem and you're having to figure out the best course of action or what should we do, and you're navigating these rough seas, uncharted territory, it takes character to make it through that without some people getting thrown overboard.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
There are a lot of churches where I'm sure you've heard of it too. They didn't make it out of this unscathed. You know,
there's
some problems, and those problems were brought to the surface by calamity. That's exactly. What problems do. The character problems are there. They're right. Just embedded, but in good times, everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
But when challenges come out, that's when we're going at each other's throat.
Yeah, that's right.
Even in the church, and that's what's sad.
Yeah, it's sad, but that's what Jesus was saying at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in like Matthew 7, 24 through 27, where he talks about the wise man builds his house on the rock and the foolish man builds his house on the sand. Like, you don't really know the character of the house itself until the storm comes.
Yeah.
And the rains descend and the winds blow and beat on the house, just like some of the things that have happened in 2020 have happened, and you find out, hey, does this person have a foundation that's on the rock or a foundation that's on the sand? And people that have it on the sand kind of crumble into dust, and then they don't have the Spirit of Christ, and you know, that just manifests itself in calamity. You know, it's just how God has designed for character to be manifested.
Well, and you know, it's funny, multiple times God uses the idea of a refiner,
yeah,
and a
right.
purifier.
Right.
And it's like God puts you through the fire and you're kind of tested to see what you're made of. I mean, think of 1 Corinthians 3.
Yeah, exactly. Where that's what I was just thinking of.
You're just like, you're some kind of building and you've been built on the foundation, which is Christ, but some people are made of wood and straw.
Yeah.
And some people are gold and
silver,
they're,
yeah.
Yeah. And they're just, they're going to stand and be stable. But in that day, it's going to reveal kind of who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And we get just little glimpses of that when we go through problems. And so just appreciate our church, because you guys have stood tough through some of these things and
right.
Had different opinions. It's not that y'all have no opinions. You definitely have opinions about things. But the respect and submission to your leaders has been exemplary. Kindness and patience and long-suffering through some of these things. You know, a couple times, I mean, I felt like Anna was going to choke someone with her mask, but I mean, she rolled on through some of those. All right, you
I saw her almost do that one time.
You just, it's probably Hanson. You just have to recognize these are the times that your Christianity matters.
Yeah,
when
right.
you're going through times like 2020, this is what God has called you for, right? To be a light to the world. And very easy to be a light when everybody else is running around in darkness, like in stupid world.
Right, right.
All right, that's point number two. We've had an opportunity to have our character reveal. Third out of four, the thing that really sticks out to me too is this world is not our home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a place that we are just passing through.
Well, America kind of fools you a little bit because...
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty nice.
It's almost heaven, West Virginia. You know, I mean, you...
Blue Ridge Mountains?
You're thinking like, there's a lot to love here, and we're comfortable, and we're well-fed, and there's peace, and prosperity, and happiness, and convenience, and ease, and all these things. And then all of a sudden, there's none of that.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to the first point. God can do what he wants to, but... It's definitely something for us to just remember. We're not long for this world. A lot of people learn that, like, literally, as far as some of the fatality rates with COVID, you know, the thread of life is brittle. And we're all going to be checking out pretty soon.
It's interesting to talk to some of our nurses at church. You know, we have several nurses, and talking to Collins and Tori and some of them.
Right.
The comment was made to me earlier in the year, life is just fragile.
Yeah.
Like a person is just fragile. And you see them in the hospital and ICU, and you go in and visit with them, you try to help them, you come out to work the next day and they're dead. You just see the fragility of life. And when you go through what we've gone through this year, no security in your job, no security in your finances. Right. You know, you're what was certain is uncertain, and unemployment skyrockets, money goes in the tank. I mean, world economy stops.
Right.
I mean, just crazy things. It puts all this in perspective that I'm not going to be here. And you look at all the things that matter to you, like, oh, we got to do all this, and you know, we're going to pursue this and pursue that. At the end of the day, you're left with nothing. Like, there's nothing here worth really pursuing.
Right.
Outside of something with some permanence.
Yeah, right. And the reality of eternity should always be in the forefront of our mind. It's difficult to do that in a country like America because we have it so good. I've called it the modern day land of milk and honey, you know, for a long time. And years like 2020 will help us not get too wrapped up in it.
Yeah, you think about John 14:3.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
And that just always needs to be in our mind, because Jesus didn't come here to prepare a place.
Right.
And, hey guys, I'll be back in a little while and we're going to spend a lot of time here on this earth.
Right.
When he came, it was never really about this place.
Right.
And you saw that in the way he lived and he lived his life and kind of, I mean, we've covered that in some previous podcasts, but just to hear him say, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come take you with me.
Right.
That where I am, there you may be also.
Right.
Like we're not intended to be here.
Right.
Our future isn't here.
Right.
And if my future is not here, it's like a rental car. How do you treat a rental car? Do you wash a rental car? Do you get out and clean the wheels?
I slam on the gas pedal and then I slam on the brakes.
Is this true confessions with Todd? Like, yes. Do we need a moment of cleansing?
No, here? It's fun because like they'll go. Like cars will go. I don't usually slam on the gas on my car. I'm afraid they'll fall apart.
How do you treat things that are temporary? We don't care as much in general about hotel rooms, rental cars, those sorts of things when it's not ours. But when it's something that's yours, I mean, you feel like you're going to value it. A Christian's home isn't here.
Right.
And so we learned that firsthand this year. I don't want this to be my... Could you imagine if this was it? If
this was it. Wow, yeah.
I mean, this is tough.
Right.
And then you would be... I mean, think of the kind of mess you would be in. I mean, Paul himself said, I mean, Christians of all men would be most miserable.
Yeah, if we hoped in Christ in this life only.
Yeah, because, I mean, you would still have the fears that everybody else had, but then you're trying to have some self-control and self-discipline and all this other stuff. Like, man, I mean, what a life. Like, we have to hope in the hereafter.
Right.
And you saw that this year.
Yeah. And what about just how fast 2020, I mean, like, it kind of seems like it's been a long year, but also it's like a lot of other years. It's like you blink and guess what? We're here at the end of it. We're going to be at the end of 2021, you know, in a couple of blinks. And then guess what? We're going to be 2025, 2030, you know, and some of us will be crossing over to the other side. I mean, it's an inexorable march to meet our Maker. And in the whole scheme of things, it's like James 4, your life's a vapor. It just appears for a little while and it's gone.
We grew up in Birmingham. I say we, my family and I, and I went back for the holidays to visit some and just got back. And we drove around town to visit my mom's old home place. And we usually do that, go see my dad's old home place and some of those things that are nearby. And it's just old.
Yeah.
And some of the places, north part of Bessemer.
Sad.
The houses are just, you know, run down, falling apart. And I made the comment as we were driving through a couple of days ago. I said, you know, this used to be the new part of town.
Right.
These houses that are old and ramshackle, like this used to be someone's new house. Like they just got built. Like a builder said, this is the place.
And can you even imagine some of those places? Because they look like such a hole in the wall now.
Yeah. But I mean, this used to be like the fancy part of town. And I always joke that Birmingham's best years were like 1900 when you had a lot of the industry and steel mills and iron ore and all that stuff. But you look at that situation and I mean, all those old cars used to be new. Old houses used to be new. All this stuff. Like, life, you blink. Right. And 100 years has passed. And what someone invested in, dreamed of, wanted, pursued, is now just a dump on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's the future of your nice house that you're living in. And my nice house that I'm living in.
Yeah. Even as we're talking about it, I mean, this might be the most important point that we're making, just to always remember that, because it is so easy to get wrapped up in this life, in our money, in our finances, in our jobs, in our pursuits. And, you know, that's another verse in James. I don't know why James keeps coming to my brain, maybe because of the class, but, you know, the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will fade away. It's just happening for all of us. And if we don't have a foundation in heaven, a citizenship in heaven, if we're not laying up treasures in heaven, then we're going to be staring at an empty bowl, and we're going to be staring at God in judgment, and it's going to be unpleasant.
Well, and you think of 2020 as something like this, Satan's behind this, like this is bad. No. I don't think so. Satan wants to fool us into the illusion of all is good and peace and happiness.
Yeah, he wants to just lull us to sleep. I mean, he wants us to stay just totally wrapped up in social media, totally wrapped up with wasting time on our phones and the TV and computers and chasing a million different things, and then tell ourselves that we're still Christians and serving God, but be too tired to actually do something for God at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's right. But then God says, hey guys, let me just give you a taste of reality. And God like pulls the veil back. Like, it's really a mirage. Like everything that you love can be taken away from you. And so you realize like, I really don't want to invest in this place.
Yeah.
Like, I am looking forward to a place in the future where I'm not afraid to go out of my house because I'm going to get sick and die. Or, you know, I'm so concerned that if I get this, I might not recover. Like all those things, like we want a place that is way better than this.
Right.
And this year kind of revealed the ugly truth. We're frail people in a very frail environment.
Yeah.
And God has got us planning something better, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Last thing, point number four, I've learned the importance of truth.
Man, I couldn't even remember what the fourth point was. I was like, what is he going to say? No, No, we got some good thoughts on this, I think, because God knows the truth. God has the truth. Man thinks he has the truth, thinks he knows the truth, spews out all kinds of confident assertions as if they're the truth, and then that all just gets blown to shreds.
You think in an age where everyone has a video camera, everything is recorded.
Yeah.
You know, computers watching over everyone, that you could know with certainty what was right. Scientific advances into DNA and the cell and being able to fight diseases like we can fight them. Let me ask you a simple question. Was there voter fraud in the 2020 election?
I don't know. I got to go check my suitcase.
This claim has been disputed.
Yeah.
So you're literally watching a video of one person saying something, and on the same video, someone has put a banner that says, this has been disputed.
Yeah.
It's been certified that this is false. And you're looking at the best of mankind here. We're not watching two kindergartners in the fall play talk about things that they've learned or whatever. Right? we're literally watching our leadership in the country.
Yeah.
Say, this is true. And the other one's like, no, it's not.
Yeah. And it's just couldn't be more diametrically opposed. And yet it's presented by both sides as absolute truth.
Is COVID worse than the flu? Is the mortality rate of COVID greater this year? Is a mask effective?
Is a mask effective? I want an answer.
Is 6 foot of distance appropriate?
The truth. Now, go.
Here we again. The best of people in the world. This is a global phenomenon. This isn't, hick part of North Georgia trying to figure this out. This is the best of us, and we cannot say with certainty what's right or wrong about anything.
Is truth?
And I'm going to tell you, it makes me appreciate more than anything else what we have in Christianity.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
God's word and the stability and the security that we have, that his word is the truth and it's not changing.
I mean, in Christianity, we've got some people that believe different things. And you got people that are honest and dishonest. You got apostles of light and false apostles, false teachers, and people that teach sound doctrine. Like, I know all that is true, but the source remains unchanged. Like, you can go, anyone as dumb as a rock or smart as a whip, you can pick up the source of truth and come to your own conclusion.
Right.
I can't, there is no source of truth like that in the world. The source of truth in the world is a person, and you know about people. You're misinformed, you're misled, you're bribed, you're indoctrinated with your ideology.
Inculcated. I think we used that word sometime in our podcast earlier this year, but that's what's happened. And then,
yeah, and you don't know what to believe.
Right.
And so what do you do?
I think if you're honest, you don't know what to believe. Some people aren't super honest and they just believe
the news tells them.
Yeah, whatever the news tells them. And then they can regurgitate that. Have you had any conversations with anyone this year where they were telling you exactly what happened in China and what happened in the Ukraine?
China.
And what happened you know, in various and sundry other countries, they speak about it with such confidence. It's as if they were there.
And where they found it.
But I know some was people,
on
some
the
people,
internet.
Well, or just watched it on TV. But I mean, like people that have never left North Georgia or South Florida, you know, it's like, I don't know how they became the keeper of the keys of knowledge.
I mean, we are at the height of mankind right now, okay? And we can't all get on the same page about what is right.
Yeah.
And this year has pulled that to a head. I mean, because you have people that are diametrically opposed on every issue.
Well, what about North Georgia and how many political ads are still circling in the waters like sharks?
Name.
I'm not saying anyone's name,
but
my son's asked me, we were talking about it today. I was like, guys, Zeke was like, this seems like this is one of the worst election seasons ever. I was like, it's absolutely the worst because usually the ads stop in the first week of November. They don't go for another 8 weeks through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. Like there was like, I don't know, it was like 10 or 20 minutes where there was nothing but ads on the radio today. Because they're just like if anyone's printing money right now, it's the radio stations and the TV stations. Because like advertising money is not just coming from North Georgia or the state of Georgia. It's coming from all over the country.
It is.
And for the four people whose names we will not name right now.
And here's what you need to do. Go back to the one thing you can depend on. Go back to the source. Go just read what matters, what's real, what's true. I mean, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
No one comes to the Father except by me.
And there's a lot of things you can say about Jesus, but here's what he is. He is the truth.
Right.
And if you want to know anything, if you want to find God, if you want to seek eternal life, go to the truth. And go spend 5 minutes with your Bible. 5 minutes with your Bible is worth 5 hours of watching TV.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth more than that, but just for a point of comparison.
No, yeah, like, yeah. Because five hours on your TV is worth nothing.
Right.
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 5 hours or 5 minutes with your Bible could potentially, you know, hear a word from God, right? Hear, you know, 20 or 30 verses or whatever you can read. I mean, there's so many things from the Word of God. I was reading something in Psalms recently. It's like how vast are the sum of your thoughts? It's like there's so much truth and just depth there. And
depth you can't even get to the bottom of.
Right. But
you, it's worth trying.
Yeah, it's worth trying, and you can rest your soul and your spirit and the peace that and the knowledge that God has chosen to reveal, whereas you can fill your mind with TV for days and you got nothing. You got no substance.
Right, because you still don't know. You still don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you either don't know or you think you know and you're confident in something that's probably not even true.
Right.
Because whatever side you're on some of these issues, guess what? Like, it's all based on the viewpoint of this world is what's most important.
Right, yeah, none of it matters.
Yeah.
You can be totally right about something that doesn't matter, and you're still an idiot.
Yeah, and I think if there's something that we should take from this podcast, it's what you just said. You can be totally correct about something and miss any substance, and as you said, be an idiot.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of lessons to learn from this as we turn the page. And look, 2021 may be the same. It may be better or maybe worse.
Hopefully on January 6th, we're at least done with the political ads.
Don't let this go by without learning something from it, good or bad. And I think there's just some invaluable lessons that we could put together tonight. Number one, God could do anything. Calamity will reveal your character. This world is not our home. And the importance of finding the truth or having the truth. And yeah, appreciate the stability that's in Christ. Some good lessons for me. You probably got some others and would enjoy talking to you about it. It's good to have you back. I mean,
it's good to be back. Good to be back on the podcast train.
I couldn't do it by myself. It was just weird. I was going to try, but
might have been better.
No,
honestly,
it's not going to be better.
But definitely some great lessons. I'm sorry to interrupt you if you were still going to say something else, but yeah. I mean, I think these 4 points tonight, I mean, people have some other thoughts, but these are like universal truths that really have been magnified in my mind in 2020, and they're definitely worth us meditating on.
Well, praise God that he led us through it.
That's right.
And to the other side, and it didn't break us, and it won't. Jesus is in the boat with us.
That's right.
As bad as things are, and we can rest assured knowing that God's aware and in control. So looking forward to his providence and kindness and care for us, our church family, extended family as well, and his kingdom. And we'll be right there with him, whatever he needs, 2021, and just pray we got the character to stand tall if times continue to be tough.
Yeah, praise God, and let's just press forward in Christ in 2021.
All right, look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Yeah, Lord willing. All right. In a couple of hours.
Y'all take care, and God bless.
God bless.